On daf mem heyum and aleph, about 10 lines down from the top, toshma, and we're bringing another mishnah in Maaser Sheni in order to prove the scope of the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel that we discussed on daf mem dalet amud beis. Haporet sela mimos Maaser Sheni. In the Mishnah, in the second parak, it says that haporet, which is always a reference to nechoshes, these are prutos, and a person was mechalal the kedusha, he transferred the kedusha peres ma'aser sheni onto prutos of nechoshes, and now he's gathering together a mass of prutos that would be worth the equivalent of a sela kesef. And now he wants to transfer the Kedushas Maaser Sheni from the Prutos onto a Sela of Kesef. And obviously it'll be a lot easier, instead of schlepping all these Prutos, he's going to bring one Sela Kesef that has the value of all those Prutos, and it would be a lot easier for him to carry one Sela instead of all these Prutos on his way up to Yerushalayim. And we're going to have machlokas tanoim, what he should do. We're talking about close to 200 prutos here. So Beit Shammai omer b'chol sela mos, he could be poreit the full amount. That is, he can take all the prutos and transfer the kedusha onto a sela. He doesn't have to leave out any. U'beisil omrim b'shekel kesef u'b'shekel mos. Beis Hillel insists that he split his prutos into two halves, and he should be poreit half of his prutos onto a shekel, and a shekel is the equivalent of half of a sela. At the time of Chazal, a shekel was worth 2 dinarim, which is half of a sela. A sela is worth 4 dinarim. And the other half, he should leave as prutos and bring them up to Yerushalayim. He should only be machal half of his prutos. And the reason for this is that when he comes to Yerushalayim and he needs prutos to buy food for his seuda, it's a lot easier to use prutos, because food is cheap, relatively. And therefore, he doesn't want to use the more expensive, high-value sela of kesef, but rather the lower value of prutos. Imagine if everyone who came up to Yerushalayim would come with these very expensive matbeos of kesef, they all have to go to the money changers, what's called the shulchani, in order to convert the larger sums into smaller sums, then there'll be a greater demand for prutos. And as of this massive demand of prutos, because all the people coming on Aliyat Yerushalayim don't have prutos, the value of the prutos is going to appreciate, and the amount of Maaser Sheni is going to be more limited. Everyone should leave a certain amount of prutos and bring with them those prutos to Yerushalayim. And that's going to guarantee that the value of the pruto will not jump up out of a result of demand. Now, it would seem logically that according to Beis Hillel, all he has to do is leave himself half a seller's worth of prutos. And if he comes up to Yerushalayim with that amount of prutos, that's going to cover him as far as buying food for his seudos. He has a massive amount of prutos, much more than the value of one sela, but for many slaim, then according to the logic of Beis Hillel, certainly he could take all those prutos, those massive amount of prutos, and be machal them onto slaim shleim. He doesn't have to split in half, as long as he splits one sela, and he has a shekel's worth of prutos, that's going to cover him. In any event, it comes out that Beis Hillel is being machmir, Beit Shammai is being mekil, as far as this chil process is concerned. The Rishon want to know, the Mishnayis in Edios always list cases where Beit Shammai, those rare cases where Beit Shammai on Mekil and Basil on Machmir. That's, those are the exceptions to the rule. And this Machlokas is not quoted there. And therefore, Tosus Divir Maschil B'chol Sela, B'chol Asela, is going to present a different Shita, which has Beit Shammai being the Machmirim, that if he has in his hands Prutos, the equivalent of a full Sela, then what he has to do is has to be Machal, all of them B'vas Achas. All the Prutos have to be Mischal, whatever he has to the Sela, he has to do Bivas Achas. And the reason for that, if he doesn't do it Bivas Achas on the Sela, but he's going to break down the Sela into smaller denominations, like for example a Shekel, and every time he gets a value of Prutos that are worth a Shekel, he's going to be Machal it, so he's do many Chilulim, then every time he's going to make this exchange, he's going to have to pay a commission to the Shulchani, and that too will cause a hefsi to my Sasheni. Alternatively, Tosus points out that since he's collecting all his prutos and he's being machal them piecemeal, there's a kshash that those prutos made of copper will spoil, will be misapesh over the period of time before he gets to Yerushalayim. Therefore, Beis Shammai insists that you be mechalel on a matbeh of kesef all the prutos bevasachas. Beis Hill argues they're not afraid of those chashoshos. They say that even if he has prutos kidei sela sholem, he's allowed to be mechalel prutos piecemeal on smaller denominations. He doesn't have to do it all in one fell swoop on a sela. He can leave half of his prutos be mechal one half on the shekel, and then later on be machal the other half, prutos on another shekel. Of course, Beis Hillel will agree that if he wants to be poured all of his prutos onto one cell of Vasachas, he's allowed to do so, but he's not required to do so. In any event, it's clear from this Mishnah that both Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel agree fundamentally to one point, and that is that you can be machal kedushas haperis of Maaseh Sheni onto prutos nechoshes. They're only arguing whether you have to do the entire chilul vasachas of all the prutos on one sela, or you're required to do it half-half according to Rashi, or according to Tosfos, you'd be required according to Beis Shammai to do it in one fell swoop. Now the question is, v'hashta l'Beis Shammai l'gabi priti mechalo l'gabi da'ava miboy. We had an issue, and that was the sugya that we did yesterday, as to whether Beit Shammai allow a person to be poreid peres maaseh sheni onto zahav, onto dinrei zahav. If Beit Shammai agree that, and there's no hesitation here, that you can be machalel peres maaseh sheni onto prutos and the choshes, then Alachas kama v'kama, how much more so would they permit you to be mechal peres maaseh sheni onto dinrei zav? Because again, when you're setting up your hierarchy, certainly dinrei zav have much more chashivus. Gold is much more significant of a metal than prutos of nechoshes. And this would prove what we established yesterday, Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of Beit Shammai, which was a more limited machlokas, meaning Beit Shammai were of the opinion that you cannot be mechalel, you cannot be mechal peris of zav onto kesef, but you're allowed, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Beit Shammai, to be mechal peros onto dinrei zav, and that was never a subject of the debate between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. And here in this Mishnah, we see that Beit Shammai validates chilul peres maaseh sheni onto prutos of nechoshes. How much more so then would they validate chilul peres maaseh sheni onto zav? Which brings us back to Rabbi Yochanan's relativity theory that we discussed yesterday. That is that zav is considered pera relative to kesef, and therefore you cannot be mechalel kesef, which is tiva, onto zav, which is pera, because there's no permission to be mechal peri from Mos onto Peri. However, in and of themselves, Zav is Tiva. And relative to Peros, Zav is Tiva. You can be Machal Peros onto Zav. Here we're seeing you can even be Machal Peros onto Nechoshes. Now the Gemara soon is going to delve more deeply into this Kal Vachomer from Prutus and Nechoshes to Dinrei Zav. Now at this point, the Gemara is going to reject this proof from the Mishnah and raise the possibility against Rabbi Yochanan that according to Beit Shammai, you cannot be Mechal Peris Maisusheni onto Zav. Even the original Peris of Maisusheni, meaning Zav, is not considered Tiva at all. It's considered Peri Mamish in and of itself. You could be Mechal Peros, even according to Beit Shammai, onto Prite Nechoshes, Shani Prite, Bi Asra Desagyon Charife. We said in yesterday's Shia that there are different kinds of locations. In some locations, Prutos of Nechoshes are very much over Lasocher. They're very much used and that's what the market uses in those places. That's the prime or most popular coin on the market. There are other places where Prutos and Nechoshes are less popular. In the place where Prutos of Nechoshes are very popular, they have more Charifus than even Dinrei Zav, which is not a Chiddush to us. And therefore, we could always consider in those places, because of the Charifus of Prutos, that a Pruta is a Tiva. And therefore, the relationship between a Peri, in this case, Maisusheni, and Prutos of Nechoshes, certainly the Prutos of Nechoshes can serve as matbea for the purpose of chilul peros maisusheni, but that puts prutos of nechoshes on a higher level than dinrei zav, because dinrei zav don't have in any place that level of charifus that could parallel and trump the level of charifus of prutos of nechoshes in those places. Be asur de sagyon. And the case of Matbea of Zav is not Charif in any place. Let's put it that way. And therefore, even vis-a-vis Peros, the status of Dinrei Zav is, according to Beit Shammai, is that of Peri. And therefore, you cannot be Mechal Peros onto Peros. So, whereas the Makshon was absolutely certain that Zav, relative to Nechoshes, is more Chashuv, and that was the basis for this Kal Vachomer, the Taretzon now, who denies this Kal Vachomer, he thinks that on the contrary, Nechoshes has a certain chashivus that supersedes that of Zav insofar as its charifus is concerned. And this touches on a discussion that we had on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph about the din of Zav in relationship to Nechoshes. And we mentioned that there are Rishonim who understand that Zav is considered a Matbea relative to Nechoshes. Nechoshes is a Peri, and Zav is a Matbea because of its Chashivus. Here, the conclusion of this Sugya seems to be absolutely antithetical to that premise. And the Ritva here is going to try to defend those Rishonim in the light of this Maskana. And he says that the discussion here in our sugya now is on the status of Nechoshes vis-a-vis Zav as far as Mekach u'Memkar is concerned. And that's relevant only to the din of Chilul. And the Makshin thought that Zav has a certain superior quality vis-a-vis Nechoshes as far as Chilul is concerned because of its extra Chashivas above and beyond Nechoshes. And that was the Kal Vachomer. Not only that, in terms of Mischar, the Chashivas of Zav is not just in its value and its rarity, but also in the fact that it makes life easier for you because you can get a whole lot of Prutas, probably 5,000 Prutas for one dinar of Zav. So that makes life easier. So therefore, if, according to the logic of the Makshon, if the Torah, when it says v'tzarta kesef biyodecha, includes even mateyasim nechoshes, then how much more so in the case of zav v'tzarta kesef biyodecha, you can mechal peris of ma'aseh sheni onto zav. The Tarzan rejects this, and he says, no, the Choshes has a certain superiority, a certain adifus, because it's more charef in certain places than Zav. And therefore, for those who are coming up to Yerushalayim to buy Tzarchei Machal, that's the ultimate objective, in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kedusha, Avachilus, Peres, Maaser Sheni, certainly Prutos are better, are superior, and make life a lot easier than Zav. Go into a store to buy a pair and give them a dinner Zav and ask for change. Go figure that out. So therefore the Pruta, which is a more limited coin, has that superior quality of Zav. But that has nothing to do with the Machlokas Rishonim that we had on Daf Mem Daf. That group of Rishonim that classify and define Zav as matbea vis-a-vis nechoshes, they were talking about an exchange, a swap between prutos of nechoshes and dinri zav. That's what we call mekach u'memkar. And in that context, you want to know what's buying what, what's being used as a medium of payment, and what is the commodity, the merchandise that's being sold. Because metaltalin, the kinyan is clinched with peri, not with tiva. And the answer is that Zav certainly has more of a chashivus than it has, than Nechoshes has. And therefore, the Nechoshes is a medium of payment to buy Zav. People are buying Zav, they're not buying Nechoshes. So therefore, Zav becomes Peri, and Nechoshes becomes Tiva. Again, in the mission itself, here at the beginning of Zav, it's not clear what is the status in terms of mekach u'memkar and selling and exchanging of zav vis-a-vis prutas and nechoshes. I mean, the Mishnah establishes that zav is certainly called peri vis-a-vis kesef, and kesef becomes tiva. Therefore, the ikar kinyan meshicha that binds the kinyan is on the zav, and the Mishnah establishes that nechoshes becomes Peira vis-a-vis Kesev, because Kesev is the absolute Tiva, and therefore the Kinyan on the Nechoshes, like the Kinyan earlier on Zav, is the primary clincher of the Kinyan. That's called Peira. However, the Mishnah says nothing. It falls sort of between the cracks as to what's the relationship in Mekach u'Memkar between Zav and Nechoshes, both of which serve as Peira in their relationship to Dinrei Kesef. What is their relationship, their internal relationship vis-a-vis themselves? And according to those Rishonim who put Zav as Peira and Nechoshes as Tiva, that's as far as Mekach u'Memkar. When you're getting to the question of Chilul, and you're talking about making it easier for the Baal HaPeiros of Ma'aser Sheni to fulfill his mitzvah Ma'aser Sheni, then certainly Prutos becomes the Tiva and has a superior position above and beyond Zav, because as we said, you go into a store and you want to buy fruits or meat or fish with a dinner of Zav, you know, I wish you a lot of luck. It's like getting on a bus with a 100 shekel note and the bus costs 7 shekel. Adkan Rabosai, this is one approach to Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, with the sub-issue of whether or not Beit Shammai have a broader scope, and they even exclude Chilul Peres Ma'aser Sheni Mamish onto Dinrei Zav. Now the Gemara is going to present a Lishna Basra with a totally different understanding of the Machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Lishna Achrina, Amri La, the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, as far as Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, Chad Omar machlokas bislaim. In other words, he's mechal slaim of kesef onto. He's mechal the kedusha of peros ma'aser sheni onto kesef, and now he wants to take the slaim of kesef and he wants to mechal the kedusha al dinrim onto Zav, again lightening his burden even further. So he started with this massive amount, 1/10 of his produce, transferred that kedusha ma'aser sheni onto Slaim of Kesef. Now he's got a whole bunch of Slaim and Kesef. He'd like to transfer those onto Dinrim of Zav, which is a ratio of 1 to 25. So he's got, you know, 25 heavy silver coins, and he may have, you know, 10 times that amount, onto one Dinar of Zav. The Beit Shammai Savri, Beit Shammai hold that you could be Mechalel once, but not twice. The pasuk says, "V'nasata b'kesef, v'tzarta ha'kesef biyodech v'alachta el ha'makom." And what does it mean, ha'kesef? The he'ayidia says, "Beit Shammai, kesef rishon v'lo kesef sheni." You are permitted by the Torah to take your peros and be machal them once onto kesef, and once you do so, that's ha'kesef. That kesef has to be brought up to Yerushalayim to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kedushas Ma'aser Sheni, Achilas HaPeros. But not kesef sheni. You can't take the first kesef and then be mechal that kesef onto a second kesef. Again, you have to keep in mind that Beit Shammai is talking about sloim of kesef onto dinrei zav. I mean, lechora, that becomes irrelevant. It would be even kesef onto kesef. But we'll pick that up in Mirtz Hashem a little bit later. Beis Hill Savri ha kesef kesef. That in this pasuk, the word kesef appears twice. It starts with v'nasata ba kesef, and then it goes on to v'tzata ha kesef. And the double language of kesef here is a ribui, is coming to include ribu, riba filu kesef sheni, that you can be mechabel the kedushas kesef once more, from one kesef that's already got the kedushas ma'aser sheni onto another kesef, kesef to kesef. Avol peros al dinrim divrei hakol mechalel. But if you have peros of ma'aser sheni and you want to be mechal them onto dinrei zav, nobody disagrees, which again would support Rabbi Yochanan in the Lishna Kama, his more limited understanding of Beit Shammai's Chumrah. Dakati Kesef Rishon Hu. Now, Dinrei Zav can certainly serve as Kesef Rishon, according to this approach. And although they cannot serve as Kesef Sheni, once you Machal on the first set of Dinrei Kesef, you can't transfer the Kedusha from Dinrei Kesef onto Dinrei Zav as a second round. That's the Shita Beit Shammai, but as far as the first round is concerned, you can certainly be Mechalel Peres Ma'aser Sheni onto Dinrei Zav. The Chadomer, and another opinion, has it that the reason of Beit Shammai is not because you cannot be Mechal Kesef Rishon onto Kesef Sheni, meaning even Beit Shammai would agree that Kesef Riba, but rather because Zav is considered Peri in its relationship to Kesef, which is Rebbe Bizeknuso, if you recall, that Kesef vis-a-vis Zav is Tiva, whereas Zav is Peri, and therefore you cannot be Mechalel Kesef onto Zav. But now Beit Shammai is going even one step further. They're not only defining Zav as Peri relative to Kesef, but even in and of themselves, Dinrei Zav are considered Peri, and therefore it says Af Biperos Al Dinrei Zav Nami Machlokes. So that's kind of old hat. In other words, the Lishna Basra here, in one particular shita, whether it's Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, I think it's more likely Reish Lakish, is presenting what we've seen before, that Beit Shammai's shita is that Peros in and of themselves, that Zav in and of themselves, Dinrei Zav, are considered Peri, and you cannot be Mechal Peris Ma'aser Sheni onto Dinrei Zav. meaning that we define dinrei zav essentially in their very essence as peri mamish, and therefore you cannot be mechal kedushas ma'aser sheni from peris onto dinrei zav, only on a matbea of kesef. That's one approach, and nobody disagrees in this approach that you can be mechal kesef onto kesef, but not onto dinrei zav, because according to Beit Shammai, dinrei zav have the status of peri in the most extreme sense. But what's new about this Lishna Basra is the other shita. Let's have it that it's Rabbi Yochanan, that for sure dinrei zav have the status of matbe of tiva in and of themselves, vis-a-vis chil peris ma'aser sheni. But Beit Shammai do not allow taking tiva and be mechal tiva onto another tiva, because kesef rishon omrach monavalo kesef sheni, whereas Beis Hillel understand kesef riba, that you can be mechal even kesef onto kesef and have a second chiul afilu kesef sheni. Now, according to this Lishna Basra, in the first chad, the first understanding which we want to identify right now with Rabbi Yochanan, there's no problem of being mechalel. There's no problem, in other words, everybody agrees that there's no problem of being mechal a matbe of kesem onto a mamea of zov, from the perspective of zov being peri, correct? And therefore you could be mechal peris ma'aser sheni onto zov, lekuli alma, even according to Beit Shammai, the machlokis is can be mechal kesef rishon onto kesef sheni. And the Rashba says that why does the Lishna Basra in the Mishnah formulate the machlokis in terms of kesef onto zov, if it's a general issue of kesef rishon onto kesef sheni? The answer is that even Beit Shammai would agree, according to this Lishna Achrina, to Rebbe Bialduse, that means that zov itself is considered tiva vis-a-vis kesef, and therefore when you want to be mechal kesef onto zov, if kesef is peri vis-a-vis zov, that should be okay. And Beit Shammai nicks that idea because of kesef rishon velo kesef sheni. So Beis Hillel, again, within the context of Yalduse de Rebbe, that itself is not a chiddush, that zov is considered tiva vis-a-vis kesef, therefore you can be mechal kesef sheni kesef onto zov. That's the opinion of the Rashba. Most of the Rishonim assume, not like the Rashba, that even at this point we're assuming ziknuse de Rebbe, which means that zov is peri vis-a-vis kesef, and therefore the question arises, what was the havamini here of being mechalel? Forget about kesef sheni, let's assume the kesef sheni is okay and you can be mechalel from one coin to another coin, but how can you be mechalel from a kesef to a zov if zov in the context of Rebbe Bezeknuse is peri relative to kesef? The answer is that since vis-a-vis peros, zov has the status of tiva, and in fact you can be mechalel even according to Beit Shammai in this chad, in this first Rabbi Yochanan, peros onto zov. Zov is considered tiva for chilul mai. Therefore, if you mechal the peros onto kesef from kesef onto zov, barring the issue of kesef sheni, that would be okay, because basically the kedushas ma'aser sheni is going from the peros to the zov as a matbea through the medium of the middleman, if you will, of kesef, and therefore in and of itself that would be okay. Now, oddly enough, you might ask, Beis Hillel wants to derive that new halacha from a yalfus of kesef, and the answer is because otherwise I might think that the chilul really is a limited relationship between kesef and zav, and in the context of Rebbe Bezeknusa, kesef is tiva and zav is peri, and therefore the chilul is excluded, and then we have the separate ribui that goes as far as to tell me that you could be mechalel kesef onto zav. And that's according to the Rishonim who reject the Rashba. The Gemara asks the fine kasha, Uleman di Omar Sloim al Dinrim Machlokes. If, according to that first chad here in the Lishna Basa, the first opinion, the machlokes is the whether you can transfer from kesef onto zav, where you be machal from kesef onto zav, and the reason Beit Shammai blocked that is because Kesef Rishon Omer Achmon of Lo Kesef Sheni is Ad Miflegi B'Sloim Al Dinrim Liflegi B'Sloim Al Sloim. What would be in a case where he had already been Machal as Peiris Meister Sheni onto Kesef, and now he wants to transfer the Kesef onto other Kesef and do a second Chilul? That too should be the subject, that too will be and is the subject of machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Why is that case left out? And it would be advantageous in the Gemara's, in the Makshin's thinking process, that we mention this case of Kesef onto Kesef, because we might mistakenly understand that Beit Shammai has a problem with Zav, insofar as Zav is considered like Peri, which is certainly Beit Shammai Shita in general, that Zav is considered Peri, like Rebbe Bialduse. And therefore we might think that the problem here in Chilul Kesef onto Zav is a problem of Zav being Peri vis-a-vis Kesef. Tell me another Chiddush, that even Kesef to Kesef is Ein Lechal, because of Kesef Rishon, Om Rachman v'lo Kesef Sheni. So the Mishnah is particularly ambiguous, if you will. It's not crystal clear. So the Gemara answers, E iflegi b'sloim al sloim. And now we go back to Beis Hillel. You're right, in the context of Beit Shammai, the Mishnah could have been a lot clearer had it told me that Kesef on Kesef is a problem. That would teach me Kesef Rishon v'lo Kesef Sheni. But the drawback is, within the context of Beis Hillel, Hav Aminu, we would have thought, in Sloim al Sloim, Hani Mili B'Sloim al Sloim. Aval B'Sloim al Dinu Modulu Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, did the Havel Gabi Kesef, Peirahav, Ifalo Machalinon. If the Mishnah would have formulated the Machlokas in Sloim al Sloim, okay, you would have definitely presented to me a Machlokas about Kesef Rishon, Kesef Sheni, and Beis Hillel taking a more liberal view, allowing Sloim al Sloim is holding a Kesef Riba, even Kesef Sheni, but you might mistakenly come to the conclusion that if he wants to transfer from Sloim onto Dinrim, meaning from Kesef onto Zav, Beis Hillel would be Modeh to Beit Shammai, that since, again, within the context of Rebbe Biziknuse, Zav vis-a-vis Kesef is Pera, therefore Beis Hillel would certainly block that possibility of being Mechalel Kesef onto Zav, because that's going from Tiva down to Peri, which you can't do. Kamash Malon, the Tanav Mishnah wants to tell us that Beis Hillel were Matir Kesef Sheni, even in the case of Sloim onto Zahav, because Beis Hillel maintained Rebbe Bialduse that in the relationship between Kesef and Zav, Kesef is considered Peri and Zav is considered Tiva, and since Kesef Sheni Riba Rachmana, Ribsa Rachmana, therefore everything is fine. So now the Machlokas is Sloim on Dinrim, and we're going to derive from that two conclusions. Number one, that according to Beit Shammai, I'm sorry, according to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel did not accept the drush of Beit Shammai of Ha Kesef Kesef Rishon, but rather Kesef Kesef Ribos. So you could have Kesef Sheni. And not only that, an extra chiddush, that Zav is considered Tiva, like Rebbe Shita Bialduse vis-a-vis Kesef, and therefore you could be Mechal Kesef onto Zav. That's the double chiddush of Beis Hillel here in this Mishnah. Now the Gemara wants to prove that the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai has nothing to do with Kesef Rishon velo Kesef Sheni. Now please keep in mind that according to the two approaches that we've been dealing with until now, in the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, whether or not we take the first approach of the Lishna Kama, that the machlokas is about the relationship between Kesef and Zav, or as the Lishna Basa would have, it's machlokas about Kesef Rishon and Kesef Sheni, we're all on a level of Do'oraisa. No, it's based, Shammai is based on Dinim Do'oraisa. Now we're going to learn from Masechta Maaseh Sheni a Mishnah, Toshma, Haporet Sela Shel Maaseh Sheni B'Yushalayim. Now we're talking about a person who comes to Yushalayim and he's got a bunch of prutos of Nechoshes, and he's coming to be porate these prutos on a sela. So let's go step by step. Outside of Yerushalayim, he had a massive amount of peros, and he was machal those peros onto a sela. Now, a sela, as we said before, is a relatively expensive coin, and he's going to be into Yerushalayim, and he wants to buy food and be mekayim the mitzvah achilas peros maaseh sheni b'Yerushalayim b'kedushasam. But the sela is a little bit too heavy, I don't mean heavy literally, but too expensive a coin to buy fruit and food for his table, his maaseh sheni banquet table in Yerushalayim. So he wants to now go into the money changer, and I omitted an introduction to this Mishnah. First of all, we have to reiterate what we've said in the past, that as far as the status of prutos of Nechoshes is concerned, everybody agrees that you could take peros of Maaseh Sheni and be mechal them onto prutos of Nechoshes. That's for sure. Prutos of Nechoshes is tiva as far as the din of chil peros Maaseh Sheni is concerned. So now he comes up to Yerushalayim and he has a large volume of prutos, and now he comes to Yerushalayim. I'm sorry, once again I made that mistake. So again, he's outside Yerushalayim. He was machalel his peros onto prutos of Nechoshes. He's got a massive amount of prutos of Nechoshes, literally bags full. And that's going to be a gigantic schlep to Yerushalayim. And now what he wants to do is, he wants in his location, his home location, to transfer the Kedusha from the Prutos, this massive amount of Prutos of Nechoshes, into a Sela. And therefore he'll only have to carry to Yerushalayim a Sela. So again, what we're talking about is haporet sela shel maaseh sheni b'Yerushalayim, habo lifrot prutos sela shepodavo prutos maaseh sheni vehelo Yerushalayim. He's already has kedushas maaseh sheni on the sela, right? He made his burden from Tveria to Yerushalayim very light, and he's only carrying a sela. But when he gets to Yerushalayim and he wants to purchase food, it's going to be very difficult for him to buy food with a sela. So he wants to first go to the money changer and he wants to convert the sela into prutos and transfer the kedusha of Maaseh Sheni from the sela onto the prutos. And here we have machlokes Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai omrim b'chol ha-sela mos. If he wants to be porate the entire sela into prutos in one fell swoop, then he's allowed to do so. So let's just go over Beit Shammai one more time. According to Beit Shammai, he can take the Sela and convert it into prutos bevasachas, the entire Sela into prutos. Please note that that's the shita of Rashi, Dibra Masla Beit Shammai, the second Beit Shammai. Ubeisil, here Beisil of Machmer, and they say, Omrim, he shouldn't do that. Ela b'shekel kesef u'b'shekel mos. He should take half of a sela. Beisil are opposed to allowing the person who has this sela and wants to convert it into prutos to bring the money changer a sela and ask for its value, its equivalent in prutos, but rather he should break down the sela into a shekel, that's half of the sela that he receives from the money changer, and the balance should be prutos of nechoshes. So he's, in a sense, what he has now in his pocket is a half a sela, which is a shekel, and the equivalent of the other shekel, of the other half a sela, is in prutos. And the reason why Beis Hillel are getting so machmir is called Shema Lo Yishev Yerushalayim Ad Sheyotzias Kol HaPrutos Shebiyado. We're afraid that if he has the entire change of prutos, the entire sela was converted into prutos, he may not be able to remain in Yerushalayim to the time period that it would take him to be motzi all the prutos. And then what he's going to do is he will leave whatever leftover prutos that he has in Yerushalayim next in the hands of his friend. And then he's going to pick them up from his friend in the next regel when he comes on Aliyah for the next regel. And in the meantime, maybe it's apshu ipush haprutos. The prutos will get corrupted. And that's going to be a chilul of kedushas ma'aser sheni. But, right, so if he's going to come back to Yerushalayim and he's going to try to do, again, an exchange into Slaim, you know, from Slaim, and if he's motivated to avoid this problem of Ipush, so instead what he's going to do is he's going to take those leftover prutos and he's going to convert them into Slaim to avoid this Ipush, then the Shulchani gets a commission twice. And that's going to be Mafsid Peros of Maisa Sheni. And Rashi points out here, Dibra Maslo Beisil Omrim, that even at the moment that he's converting his Slaim into Prutos, Gam Kshiyachlif HaPrutos Chazor L'Slaim Nimsa Maisa Sheni Nifsad. He's converted his Slaim into Peros, I'm sorry, into prutos, and now the leftover prutos he's going to convert back into slaim because he doesn't want to leave the prutos around because he does want to be shomer the kedushas ma'aser sheni, and the fear is until the next regel they'll be misapesh. That's how Rashi presents this sheet of Beis Hillel. Comes out again that Beit Shammai on Mekil and Beis Hillel on Machmir. That's going to be a problem for Tosis because why didn't the Mishnayos and Edios list this, enumerate this amongst the Mishnayos, amongst the controversies between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai with Beit Shammai on the Mekil? And they have a Tosis, the Ramaskal B'chol Asela, are going to interpret in the opposite way, that they Dafka Beit Shammai the Machmirim, they try to avoid a shnei pa'amim of a change, but rather they demand that in one fell swoop you be porate the entire sum, and therefore you don't have to pay a double commission to the shulchani, because then ma'aser sheni is nifsad. But Beis Hillel are the ones who are mekil, and they say that you could be porate on your piecemeal on two occasions. They're not concerned about the commission of the chenvani being mafsid peiros of kedushas ma'aser sheni. In any event, it's clear from this mishnah that we're studying now that both Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai agree that you could be mechalel slaim of ma'aser sheni onto prutos. Right? That's exactly what he's doing here when he carries the Slav into Yerushalayim, Slav of Maisa Sheni, and he goes into the money changer to convert those Slav into Prutos, to buy food. They're only arguing as to whether or not you can be Mechal the entire Selah in one fell swoop into Prutos, or you have to do it piecemeal with a Shekel and so forth and so on. So it comes out that there's no question about one point, and that is, as the Gemara points it out, Hashta Kaspo Lagabi Priti Mechalim, that you can take the cell of Kesef and Mechal it onto Priti, and Lo Amrinan Kesef Rishon Lo Kesef Sheni, this is already a second Chilul. Is Lagabi Dahava Dechshivi Minei Mi Amrinan Kesef Rishon Lo Kesef Sheni? Is it possible that Beit Shammai would object to taking Sloim and be Mechal them onto Zav? If you can take Sloim of Kesef and be Mechal them onto Priti, how much more so can you take Sloim and be Mechal them onto Zav? Because if you're establishing that Nechoshes, that Priti have the status of Tiva vis-a-vis Kesef, allowing that Chilul, then certainly Zav should have the status of Priti. And this presents a contradiction to one interpretation of the two possible interpretations of Machlokas Beisil Beit Shammai that were recorded in the Lishna Basra, that the reason for Beit Shammai prohibiting to be Mechal Sloim of Kesef onto Dinrei Zav was because of the drush of Kesef Rishon or Kesef Sheni. Here clearly we're taking Mos of a Sela of Kesef and be Mechal it onto Prutus of Nechoshes as a second Chilul. This Kal V'Chomer that the Gemara presents here is very difficult, L'Chor, because if you're telling me there's a drusha of Kesef Rishon, Kesef Rishon, then there's no difference between being Machal them on this Matbe or that Matbe. The fundamental issue is whether or not you can be Machal the first set of Kesef onto a second set of Kesef. So as far as the Drasha is concerned, if you're excluding Kesef Sheni, then what difference does it make if Zav has a certain Chashivus? And therefore the Ritva takes this Kal V'Chomer out. He says it doesn't belong in the Girsa of the Gemara. Now, according to one Mandiyomer, we said that the Machlokes between Beisil and Beit Shammai is on the very essence of Zav and its status with regard to Kesef. If it's considered a Matbea, and therefore you can be Machal from Kesef onto Zav, or it's considered Peri, and therefore you cannot be Mechal Kesef onto Zav. And if that be the case, you might want to know, why is it possible to be Mechal Kesef onto Prutos? Because in the relation between Kesef and Prutos of Nechoshes, then for sure, Lesman de Polig, that Nechoshes is considered Peri vis-a-vis Kesef. Something that's explicit in our Mishnah at the beginning of Perek HaZav. But this Mishnah, we have to point out, and that's going to set us up for Amar Rava in a second, is talking about Yerushalayim. There's no din that you can't be Mechal onto Peros. The whole din of Mitzvah Achilas Peros requires you to be Mechal the most, Vitzata Kesviyadecha, onto Peros. And therefore, see, even if I grant you that Nechoshes is considered Peri vis-a-vis Kesef, you certainly can be Mechalel from Kesef onto Peros Mamish, you can be Mechal onto Nechoshes. The mitzvah is to buy with this Kesef Macholim in Yerushalayim. And therefore, there's no question that you can be Mechal on Prutos. That makes sense. But if on the other hand, you're going to tell me that the logic of Beit Shammai, and that's according to one Man Diomer in this Lishna Basra, is Kesef Rishon Velo Kesef Sheni, then the Makshin is of the opinion that there's no difference between being Mechalel in Yerushalayim or being Mechalel outside of Yerushalayim. There's a separate din that as far as Kesef is concerned, there's no possibility of converting, of transferring the Kedusha, being Mechalel the Kedusha from Kesef onto Kesef, because Kesef Sheni in Yerushalayim, there's no logical reason to distinguish between outside of Yerushalayim and inside Yerushalayim. Well, so let's see, and this is all you'll see in Tosfos Dibur HaMaskil Hashta. But let's see the Chap of Rava. Amar Rava, Yerushalayim Kamosiv, Shiny Yerushalayim, Dechsiv Beven Asata, Kez Bechal Sher Ta'ave, Nafshecha, Baboker Vatzon. You can be Mechal Kedushas Kesef onto Peros in Yerushalayim. That's exactly what the Pasuk advocates. And therefore you can be Mechalel a Kedusha onto Kesef Sheni. Oh, so that Rava comes up with a new Chap. We thought that as far as Kesef Sheni is concerned, if you have the Miyud of Rishon Velo Sheni, that applies equally outside of Yerushalayim to in Yerushalayim. Comes along Rava, and he says, no, that the Drush of Kesef, Rishon Velo Kesef Sheni, applies only in the case of being Mechal Chutz Yerushalayim. Chutz Yerushalayim, you can't go from one Kesef to another Kesef, according to the Drush of Beit Shammai. But even Beit Shammai would agree that once you get to Yerushalayim, there's no blockage, there's no limitation of Kesef Sheni. So the logic of Rava, and this is the Chiddush of Rava, is that once you get to Yerushalayim, and the whole purpose is to purchase food with a Kesef Maaser Sheni, and that's the mitzvah that the Torah commands, which is written, V'nasata kes b'chol sher ta'ava nafshcha, etc., is then, if in the light of this need to purchase food, if you're stuck with dinrei kesef, and it's going to be nearly impossible, virtually impossible, to buy inexpensive food, because people are going to sell that for kapur, for nechoshes, not for kesef, then certainly the Torah would allow you to take dinrei kesef and convert it into nechoshes. Rava's point is that once we see clearly that the halach of kesef sheni does not apply in Yerushalayim by definition, then it doesn't apply in general. So that you can take mos and be mechal them on mos, or in this case, take sela and be mechal them onto prutos. So that has no bearing on the question outside of Yerushalayim of Beit Shammai maintaining kesef rishon velo kesef sheni. Toshma, we're going to go back to Maaser Sheni, quote a different mission, again to prove that Beit Shammai don't accept this drasha of Kesef Rishon Velo Kesef Sheni. Haporet Sela Mimos Maaser Sheni. That somebody was Mechal Kedushas Peres Maaser Sheni onto Prutos of Nechoshes, and now he wants to take these Prutos of Nechoshes and he wants to be machal them onto a cell of kesef. So in other words, the original chilul was done on prutos and nechoshes. He doesn't want to have to schlep all these massive amounts of prutos and nechoshes to Yerushalayim, and he now wants to convert it into a sela. Is Beit Shammai Omrim bechol ha-sela mos. He can be parade all these prutos onto one sela. Ubeisil Omrim, no, he shouldn't be parade all the prutos onto one sela, ella, but he should split it, b'shekel kesef, u'b'shekel mos. He should take half of the prutos and be parade them onto a shekel, and the other half he should leave in his hand so that he has prutos when he comes to Shalim to buy food, and he doesn't have to go through another process of going through a money change and taking the shekel or the sela and converting it back into prutos. In any event, we see clearly from this Mishnah, and nobody questions it, that there's no drasha of kesef rishon velo kesef sheni, and this heter of chilul is outside of Yerushalayim. He's going to take one matbea, in this case a pruta of nechoshes that has Kedushas Maaser Sheni and exchange it for a sela, for a shekel. And therefore, The Gemara now, in a sense, retreats from its original position in the Lishna Basra and has to reformulate the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish regarding Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. Ella, but rather the Kuli Alma, everybody agrees that Ha Kesef, Kesef Ribo, even Beit Shammai accept the Ribui of Kesef Sheni, and therefore there's no need to take all the Prutos to Yerushalayim. Once you've been Machal the Kesef, the Paris on to Prutos, you can be Machal them a second time around. Afilu Kesef Sheni, Ella I Itmar. But if there's a machlokes, the Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is hachi itmar. Here's the way we have to formulate the machlokes. Chad omar, machlokes, bisloim al dinrim. One approach would have it that the machlokes is to take kesef. Notice you would pode peris maisesheni onto sloim of kesef. And now you want to be machalel that kesef onto Zav, again, making your life, your burden, a little bit easier. To Beit Shammai Savri, according to Beit Shammai, we cannot allow for such a chilul. But now, all of a sudden, we are dropping down from a Doraisa to a Drabonon. Shegazrinon, and here we turn to Mem Hayim and Beis, Shema Yashe Aliyosav. Maybe he's going to delay coming on Aliyah to Yerushalayim. Why? He is waiting for the moment when he will have enough slime in order to convert those slime into a dinar zav. You know, he's going to get 25 slime, whatever it is. And velomasik. At the end, he's going to delay to such a long extent because he's waiting to amalgamate, to gather together in his hands enough to convert it into a Dina Zav, enough slime to get a Dina Zav. He's going to miss the boat to Yerushalayim. And again, all this is because he wants to lighten his burden and get himself a Dina Zav. And that's the Gzera of Beit Shammai. So there are two changes here. Number one, certainly Beit Shammai are the machmirim, and number two, they come up with a gzera drabbanon. And Beis Hillel Savri lo gazrin in shemiyash al Yosav. Why? Why aren't we worried about this? Why isn't Beis Hillel suspicious? Dechilo malu nami bidinra asuke masik luhu. Even if he won't have enough slime to convert them into a dinner, he doesn't have the value of a dinner zav, then he's not going to delay and dilly-dally his mitzvah of aliyah l'regel Yerushalayim. He'll take the slime, even though it's a little bit more of a burden, and he'll bring them to Yerushalayim. And slime of kesef are not that heavy that we have to worry about it. Aval b'peros al dinrim. As far as taking Paris of Meister Sheni themselves and being Michal them onto Zav, that was never a subject of the Machlokas. Divri Akol Michalin. Everybody would agree that he could be Michal. You might say, well, he's going to wait until he has enough Peros such that their value is equal to that of a Dinar Zav, and maybe he'll delay his Aliyah Yerushalayim. Is no Kavan the Mirkaveh lo mashi lahu. We're not choshish that a person would delay the process of being Makayim the mitzvah of Kedushas Maaser Sheni until the next Aliyah Leregel, the next Regel, because in the meantime the Peros will rot, and that, of course, he's not going to want to do. So again, Beit Shammai may be concerned about taking Chadomer, according to the other opinion, whether it's Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan, afilu b'peros al dinrim nami machlokas. Beit Shammai were machmir to extend the gzera even to the case of being machal peros on to Zav. Even though you would say, well, he's not going to delay the process of chilul, etc., because even though he doesn't have enough peros for chilul on Zav, but he realizes full well that these peros are going to rot, and that he doesn't want to cause L'chari, you would say he certainly at any cost he doesn't want to cause the rotting and spoilage of peros that have kedushas ma'aser sheni. Nevertheless, Beit Shammai went as far as extending this gzera that even in the case of peros, he doesn't have enough of a volume of peros to be machal onto this expensive coin of zav, and therefore he's going to delay this process, and he may end up ruining and spoiling peros of Ma'aser Sheni. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, are not worried about that. Not with regard to chilul peros, and not even with regard to the chilul of peros onto sloy kesef. I'm sorry, of sloy kesef onto zav. And therefore, according to Beis Hillel, there's an absolute heter to be machal on dinrei zav. The Ritva has a different take than Rashi on Beit Shammai here at this point, and that is that Beit Shammai prohibit chil peris ma'aser sheni onto dinrei zav, not because we're afraid that he'll delay the process, he doesn't have enough peros for the pigeon, but rather because dinrei zav in and of themselves have the status of peri, essentially, and therefore he cannot be machal peris onto peris, as we saw in the Lishna Kama. So again, according to this interpretation of Machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, the only reason Beit Shammai would object to a chilul from kesev onto zav is because of this problem that he might delay the process, and it's exerid the rabbana, but it's not because you're being machalel tiva onto pera. That exists according to the first lishon. So let's just make a quick overview of three approaches to the Machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of Beit Shammai and how to understand Beit Shammai. According to the first Lashon, the reason for the Iser of Beit Shammai is because you're not Mechalel Tiva onto Peros. Zav is considered Peri vis-a-vis Kesef, like Rebbe in Ziknuse. And according to one opinion, that is limited, Beit Shammai's Chumer is limited to the relationship between Kesev and Zav, but Zav themselves, in and of themselves, are Tiva, or is Zav in itself is Tiva, and therefore you could be Michal Peros onto Dinrei Zav. According to one Shita, whether we'll call it Rabbi Yochanan at this point, we'll call it Reish Lakish actually, is even with regard to peros, the status of zav is peri, and therefore you cannot be mechal peros onto dinrei zav according to Beit Shammai. That's the first lishna. The second lishna, the way it was formulated was that according to one opinion, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, the iser beis hillel of Beit Shammai is only chilul kesef onto zav, and that's a result of the halacha of kesef rishon Velo Kesef Sheni. And according to the other opinion, they're arguing even in Chilul Peros onto Zav Mamish, because Zav in and of itself is considered Peri. And according to the Maskana in the second Lishna, Lishna Basra, as far as Doraisa is concerned, everybody agrees that you're allowed to be Machal on Zav. The Iser is only Durabonon according to Beit Shammai, because Machshash Shema Yisheh Aliyosav. That's going to one view in Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. According to the other view, we're only choshesh for Shehiya. We're only choshesh for Shehiyas Kesef, but we're not worried about Shehiyas Peros, and therefore even Beis Shammai would agree that you're permitted to be Machal Peros onto Dinrei Zav. So that's what we have, is a little bit of an overview of the various interpretations of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The Gemara now asks the following kasha. Bishlei melach lishna diamet midoraisa. According to the last understanding of the Lishna Basra, that everybody agrees on a doraisa level, Mishri Shari, you're allowed to be machal onto Zav, Rabbanan Hu deGozerbe. And the whole Iser of Beit Shammai is only derabbanan.
then it would make sense that if he violated this isur, the chilul would be chal b'di'eved, a hainu tani, and that's why the language of the Mishnah reflects that very beautifully. It says yase velo yase. You know, it says Beit Shammai omrim lo yase adam sloim dinrei zov ubeisol matirim. The lashon implies that Beit Shammai only prohibit this lechatchila. But it doesn't say that the chilul is impossible. El hach lishna diamit midaraisa pligi. According to the first lishna, that we're dealing with machlokas doraisa, then the language of the Mishnah shouldn't have been yasa velo yasa, but rather machalin velo machalin mi boile. It should have said, is there chilul or is it not chilul? That would have implied that if it, let's formulate it the way the Gemara's kasha would have it, according to the first lishna. It should say Beit Shammai omrim. Ein sloim shall my sosheni mischalalim al dinrei zov, and then the implication would be that it's, that this chilul is completely not shayach, and the Torah doesn't validate such a chilul, and the Gemara ends up with a kasha. Rashi divrei maschil v'ein points out that whether or not we understand that Beit Shammai blocks the chilul onto zov because zov itself inherently is peri, so such a chilul is not accepted in the Raisa, and therefore b'dieved the chilul is not chal. Or if we accept the Havamin in the Lishna Basra, that Beit Shammai block chilul onto Zav, onto Dinrei Zav, because of Kesef Rishon, velo Kesef Sheni, that also presents a Din d'Oraisa, and b'dieved the chilul should not be chal, and therefore the Lashon of the Mishnah is problematic. Ritva disagrees with Rashi. In one major point, he holds that if you assume that according to Beit Shammai, you cannot be mechalel onto Zav, because Zav itself is considered pre, in and of itself, that wasn't bothering in the Gemara, because that Isur is only derabbanan. Rashi understands that if we define Zav as pre, that is a Doraisa aloch nechil, but the evidence is not chal, whereas the Ritva holds that even if Beit Shammai, according to that Lishna, would maintain that Zav is in and of itself pre, that itself is only an Iser Dirabana. And there's no question that Midaraisi can be Machal on any Matbea, including Zav, even if that Matbea lacks Charifus. But Peros Mamish, that's where the Torah prohibited Chilul, because the purpose of chilul is to lighten the burden, and peros onto peros, that doesn't lighten the burden. The Chachomim made a gzera that you're not allowed to be mechalel, according to Beit Shammai, onto zav, because they considered it as a pre, but that's only a halacha derabbanan. Now, we start, in a sense, a new sugya. Obviously, it's not brand new. The Mishnah establishes that you cannot be kone metaltolin with kesef. However, you can be kone metaltolin with a kinyan sudar. And what happens is that the lokeach, the buyer, will give a sudar to the mocher, the seller. When the seller makes a meshicha on the kinyan sudar, he is automatically kone whatever the lokech is automatically kone whatever they agreed should be included in the sale, whether it's karka, whether it's metaltalin. And the source for kinyan sudar in Tanakh is in Megillas Rus. There it says, "Vezos lifnim b'Yisrael al gula v'al tmura l'kayim kol dover sholaf ishnalo v'nosan lirei ehu." That's called a kinyan chalipin. And the Gemara now is going to present a machlokas amoraim, whether or not a currency, a coin, a matbea, can serve as a sudar to clinch a kinyan chalipin. And that's going to have a direct impact on understanding our Mishnah, which talks about an exchange, a barter deal between one currency and another currency. Can that barter deal be clinched with a matbea? Can the matbea serve as a suda for kinyan chalipin? We know that a kli can serve as a kinyan chalip, and the Torah says, the Rus says, sholaf ish nalo, so we know that nal is a kli, but what about currency? Itmar, Rav Halevi is machlokes, Rav Halevi. We're not sure who holds what. Chad Omar, according to one opinion, matbea nasa chalipin. In other words, nitan liknos al yidei matbea b'toras chalipin. The matbea could serve as a kinyan sudar to effectuate a kinyan chalipin. Chad Omar ain matbea nasa chalipin. Matbea does not have the status of v'sholaf nalo of a kli, and therefore cannot be used to effectuate a kinyan chalipin. Omar of Papa, my timer. Demand the Omar. Ein matbea nasa chalipin. Why, in other words, even though the Tanakh mentions nal, which is a kli, at this point, according to our Papa, we don't assume that nal is lamute, anything that's not a kli, meaning that ein konim ela b'kli, based on nal. And therefore we'd exclude Matbea, which is not a kli. At this point, Rav Papa is not of that opinion. And that opinion is going to come up later in Rav Nachman's frame of reference on Daf Mem Zayin. And there is Ein Konin Ela B'Kli. Here, in Rav Papa's frame of reference, we're not going to exclude anything that's not a kli. We're going to have some logical reason why X, in this case of Matbea, is not considered effective for Kenyan Chalipin. This is all true according to Rashi, who understands that up front that Matbea is certainly not a Kli, and since we have Machlokas here between Rav and Levi on Matbea, what's the status of Matbea, Rav Papa understood that it was a separate question about Matbea. It wasn't that the absence of the shame Kli in the case of Matbea is what's going to generate this psul, so to speak, this disqualification to be used as a method, a medium of kinyan, chalipa kinyan sudar, but Rav Papa was forced to come up with another explanation, because otherwise there should have been a debate about anything that's not a kli. Matbea is just one example of something that doesn't have a shame kli. Tosis, on the other hand, Dirumaskal Ein here on Daf Mem Heyam and Beis, is of the opinion that even according to the Man Yomar, who says Ein Konim Ela B'Kli, that would not exclude Matbea, because Matbea, for two reasons, does have the status of a Kli against Rashi. Number one, you could use Matbea as a weight, because you know exactly the weight of the Matbea, so they had scales in those days, that's how they did it. And number two, you can use it as a piece of jewelry. You know, in those days, they would put a hole in the matbea, if it was a brand new gold coin or whatever it was, and they would put it around their neck as a necklace. And in fact, there's a whole slew of Rishonim who offer a different explanation as to why matbea is considered a kli, and therefore even if I maintain, as Rav Nachman will say later, Ein Konim Ela B'Kli, that would not in itself exclude and disqualify a matbea. And that is because the halacha to exclude anything that's not a kli is specifically coming to disqualify peros, because peros in the context of chalipins, and that's what Rav Nachman points out later, does not qualify for chalipin, because they're omdim liheirakev, they get ruined and spoiled with the passage of time, and therefore no one relates to peros as something, you know, in a barter exchange deal, something reliable, because it's going to get lost, it's going to get spoiled. That's not true in the case of matbea. So we want to come up with a new explanation as to why, according to one of these two mandiyamim, we don't know whether it's Rav or Levi, peri cannot serve as a medium for a kinyan chalipin. And that's either according to Rashi, because Rav Papa is operating with a separate disqualification of Matbea. He's not operating within the context of Ein, Konin, Chlip, and Elibikli. Or according to Tosus and the entire school of Chachmei Sfarad, all the Rishonim Pe'echad, Ein Ochinami within the context of Chalipin, Matbea would serve as a Kli. And it's not excluded on the halach of Ein, Konin, Elibikli. And therefore, we have to come up with some other explanation as to why, according to Rav or Levi, we don't know which, Tiva, a Matbea, cannot serve as a Kenyan Chalipin. And Rav Papa answers, Mishum, didaite atzurasa, when a person receives, let's say in this case, the seller receives a coin, his das is not on the physical metallic value of the coin, but rather it's on the tsura. That's what gives it its significance. Vitsuras avidi debatla. Although the metallic essence of a kli, of a matbea is forevermore, I mean, you could destroy it as we've seen in Bava Kama, but nevertheless, the currency or mint value, which is represented by this coin, depends on the tsura. And again, back in the day, it was quite common for the king and the government to decide that they want to take a certain currency out of, you know, take a certain coin out of currency, out of its being worth legal, being valued as legal tender, its legality. That's called, in Lashon Kodesh, it's called Hamelech Posla. And from now on, the Melech says we have to change the tzura to a different tzura. You know, political changes. You know, we had a picture of Obama. Now we want a picture of Donald Trump. So therefore, the matbea itself is not considered something that's mesuyam v'shalim. It's not something that you can identify its value as is, as opposed to a nal. A nal is something, as Rashi calls it, shalem. Let's look at Rashi, Dibra Maschil Mishum, and Rashi says, Daito shall makne es hachefetz, meaning the mocher, who's selling it, benotel matbea b'chlipin eno somech el al atzura shebo, shein matbea choshval yidei tzura shebo, v'tzuros avid debal shamel posel v'gozel lotzor tzura acher zilkoch, in other words, a nal is considered mesuyam v'sholem. That's the definition of nal. And matbea, insofar as the Melech may decide to disqualify it, is not called mesuyam v'sholem. The other Rishon in the Rashba and the Ran have a slightly different take on this. What does it mean, ein daita latsura? The tzura is considered like osios in the case of a shtar, and it's not called gufo mamon. The tzura has no value in and of itself. And therefore, in chalipin, we need something that has gufo mamon, that has value in and of itself inherent in the physical object. That's what gives it the status of a sudor for kinyan chalupin of a nal. But something that's ein gufo mamon is not considered a nal. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. Now we want to see how our Mishnah plays a major role in this discussion as to whether or not Matbea can serve for a Kenyan Chalip. Hazov Kona Es HaKesef. When the Kenyan is made on the Zov, that's binding as far as the exchange of Kesef is of my Lav. Bechalipin. At this point, the Gemara assumes that the Zav is serving now as a Kenyan Chalipin, to be Kona the Kesef. And if that be the case, Shema Mino, Shematbea, Nasa Chalipin, that this Matbea of Zav can serve as a Kenyan Chalipin, a whole new twist in the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, lo, that's not true. And again, what you have to ask yourself here is if the Gemara and the Hafmin understood that the Zav is serving as a Kenyan Chalipin, as a Sudar, why couldn't the Kesef serve as a Kenyan Chalipin? The Gemara says the Mishnah is not talking about Chalipin,
in order to effectuate this kinyan of Zav and Kesef, but rather b'toras domim. In other words, when the mocher makes the mocher is selling kesef, okay, it could be the other way around, but let's say he's selling kesef, so the mocher now makes a meshicha on the matvei of Zav, he now owes the payment, right? Again, it doesn't matter which way you go, but let's say he's going to buy, let's say, Zav. Okay, I gave the other example before, but let's say he's buying Zav. Ruvei wants to buy Zav from Shimon. Correct? So, the moment that Ruvein makes a meshicha on Zav, insofar as it's peri, then he now owes a certain sum of matbeil shel kesef as payment for the Zav. So if I come into a berekas store and I pick up the berekas and I made a meshicha on the berekas, now I owe you damim. I have to pay you for that. The Gemara says, "Ihachi, if this be the case." Is the language of the Mishnah is a little bit strange. It says, Hazov kone es hakesef. And the word kinyan, as a general rule, means chalipin. If, on the other hand, what the Mishnah wants to convey is that once there is a meshicha on the Zav, let's say I want to buy your Zav, Reuven wants to buy Zav from Shimon, then once that Meshicha was made on the Zav, now Reuven, who's buying the Zav, made the Meshicha on the Zav, owes the payment, the Kesef, then Mechayev mi boile. The Lashon should have been Azav Mechayev es HaKesef. The language of Kone seems to imply that there are Matbeos of Kesef Misuyamim, that it's not that that Reuven once he makes a meshicha on the Zav, he can decide whatever matbeos he wants to give, but no, there was a kinyan on kesef, meaning well-specified, singled out, matbeos shel kesef. And that would only make sense if we're talking about Torah's chalipin. So our Mishnah, which establishes shelo nikne kesef b'chalipin, should have used the word mechayev, meaning that if the meshicha was done on the kesef, it's not mechayev payment. If the Mashiach was done on the Zav, it is Machayev payment. And payment would mean any Kesef that he decides to give him, any coins. It's his call, it's his choice. The Gemara now changes the language of the Mishnah, and Tni, it should read, Azav Machayev es HaKesef. That's how far the Gemara is willing to go. And Tosus, you look at the Dibra Maschil Mai, the Gemara is not trying to change the gears of the Mishnah, but rather the Gemara means to say that when it says Kone, we have to interpret it as Mechayev. That's the way Tosus understands this Gemara. The Ritva wants to explain why then the Mishnah, if you're not changing the gears, so Dafka chose the word kone, azov kone es hakesef, and based on the sugi that we're about to learn of arniki chadosha versus arniki yeshana, if the agreement was on arniki yeshana, let's say, for example, then he has to deliver him those specific coins. And that's why the word kone indicates singling out those coins if the agreement was made on a certain kind of coin. Hachinai mistavra. The Gemara says that it's logical to assume that the Zav and the Kinyan on the Meshich on the Zav is Mechayev Kesef as Tashlumin, but not that there's an automatic absolute Kinyan on a specific singled out Kesef B'toras Chalip. Miniktoni Seifa HaKesef Eino Kone Es HaZav.
Amrit
The Gemara raises the objection that we raised before. If the Mishnah is to be understood in the context of Chalipin, then why do you exclude Kesef as Chalipin? If Matbea Nasi is Chalipin, then what difference does it make whether it's Zav or Kesef? What our Mishnah is trying to say that if it's Betoris Damim, then we say that you can effectuate a Kinyan by making a Mashiach on the Peri, whereas a transfer of the matbea, the method of payment, does not effectuate the kinyan because ein metaltel niknin be kesef. In the relationship between zav and kesef, zav is considered the commodity, that's the peri, and kesef is considered the tiva. And if kesef is the currency by which you're buying the zav as the commodity, then the kinyan mashicha can be made on the commodity, and that's how you clinch kinyan metaltalin, but cannot be made on the tiva. So we really have a problem if you want to understand that our Mishnah is talking about a kinyan chalipin v'odin. Furthermore, and the second argument is very similar to the first argument, that Sanya, we have a brisa that embellishes our Mishnah and says it pretty much explicitly. Hakesef eino kona es hazov keitzad, machalo esrim v'chamisha dinrim shel kesef bedinar shel zov, afal pishem moshach es hakesef lo kona ad sheyim shelch es hazov. Again, the Braisa is pretty much outspoken. We saw this in the Mishnah, but it's a little bit more explicit and fleshed out in the Braisa, that if you're making a sale of a dinar shel zav for 25 dinarim of kesef, then that sale is not binding if the Mashiach was done on the 25 dinarim of kesef, but rather by the Mashiach of the Zav. Iyamet Pishleim Bidomim Mishum Hachi Lokani. We understand very well that since you cannot be Kona Metaltel with Mos, is therefore to the extent in which we define Kesev Zav as Tiva, then the Mashiach on the Tiva is Mashiach on Mos, and Ein Mos Konos Metaltelin. Ela Iyamet Bichalipin Nikne. If we're talking about Zav functioning as a Kenyan Sudar, then by the same token, why can't Kesef function as a Kenyan Sudar and clinch the Kenyan with a Mashiach on the Kesef, Betoras Kenyan Chalipin? Now the Gemara is going to ask, if we should not interpret the Braisa, Kesef Eino Kone Es Hazov, in terms of a Kenyan Chalipin, Elamai Bidomim, Ihachi, Ema Reisha. Let's go back to the first part of the Braisa. We haven't seen yet the first part of the Braisa. The Braisa says, Hazov, Konis, Hakesef, Ketzad. What does it mean that the Mashiach on the Zov clinches the Kenyan on the Kesef? Machalo, Dinu, Shal Zov, the Esrim, Chamisha, Dinu, Shal Kesef, Kevish, Mashiach, Zov, Nikne, Kesef, Bechol, Makom, Shehu. What's this Bechol, Makom, Shehu? It sounds like we're singling out a certain Kesef. Iyamet, Bishlev, Chalipin, is Hainu, Diktoni, Nikne, Bechesef, Bechol, Makom, Shehu, meaning that he's Kona, certain specific Mos that was singled out for this Kenyan. That's the way Kenyan Suda works. Ela Iyamet, Bidomim, if it just means that once the Mashiach was done on the Zov, then the Kenyan is binding, and the buyer of the Zav has to pay Beidinrim, is high Nikne Kesef B'chol Makom Shehu. Why does he have to pay him specific Mos of Kesef, Dinrim Kesef? He has a Chov to pay him that value of 25 Dinrim of Kesef. He'll decide which Kesef he wants to single out. Nischai of Gavrami Boile. It's not that he has to deliver a specific a bag of 25 dinar of kesef b'chol makom shehu, wherever it's located, but rather nischai of Gavra. He has a chovas Gavra of Domim, and he'll pay from whatever monies that he finds. He can write out a check, whatever he has in his bank account. And therefore, it should have said nischai of akona l'shalom kesef, but there's no kinyan on any specific kesef. And the Gemara answers, Omer of Ashi, li olam bidomim. The Braisa has in mind that the Kenyan is being made as a Kenyan Domim, not as a Kenyan Chalipin, and the Baal HaZav does not have a Kenyan on the Kesef. as a kinyan gomer umay bechol makom shehu. What does it mean bechol makom shehu? Kimos shehu, as it is. What does that mean? As it is, kida omar le, in the way that they made a condition and they agreed to enter into this transaction. And what does that mean? If the Bala Kesef said to the Bala Zov, I'm going to give you a group of Sloim from an Arnak of Sloim Chadoshim, right? Chadoshim, these are newly minted coins. Lo Motzi Yoiv Le Me'arniki Yishana, since they agreed that this sale would be made on new coins, then the buyer in this case has no right to pawn off old coins. The Afal Gavda Difa Mina, you might argue old coins are worth more than new coins, as we'll soon see. My Taima, why is it that the Baal Zav has a right to refuse to accept as payment the old coins? And the Omer Lei Liyashana Kabina Lahu. I can't accept the new coins. I want Dafka the old coins. I want Dafka the new coins. I need to leave the money for a long period of time. And I don't want them to get discolored over the course of time. They get blackened. And therefore, I want Dafka new coins. Even though, again, the Gemara postulates that Yeshanim are Adifa Minayhu. But nevertheless, the mocher has the right to insist on chadoshim. His personal subjective need is for chadoshim, even though in the market value yishanim are superior. So on an objective market value system, when the buyer of the zav wants to pay him with old coins, he's not causing any loss to the seller who's selling his zav. On the contrary, he's giving him something superior. This, again, I don't know if in general the Gemara means that old coins are worth more than new coins. That doesn't make any sense to me. But maybe those particular coins were in better shape than the new coins. Maybe because, you know, sometimes the mint is a little faulty, it's incomplete, or it's rubbed out, or whatever it might be. So he's giving the lokeach, who's buying this of, is offering the mocher some really good coins, but on a subjective level, that's not what the mocher wants. And they made an agreement that the buyer would deliver new coins. He has a subjective need for new coins. He wants to leave them a long period of time. He doesn't want them to become blackened. And since the agreement was made on new coins, that's what the lokech is going to have to fork over to the mocher. And this is why the Braisa says, B'chol makom shehu, to single out those particular coins, because the deal was made on those coins. And that's what the Ritva said earlier that we mentioned, that why did the Mishnah use the language of kones hakesef, implying specific kesef, because there was a verbal agreement in which they specified this kesef and not a different kesef. Now, the Gemara had quoted a machlok between Rav and Levi where the matbea can be used as a medium for kinyan chalipa, like a sudar. Amar Rav Papa, afilu leman diomer ein matbea nasa chalipin, mevet hu delo ovid chalipin, but iknuye mikne b'chalipin. According to that man diomer who excludes and disqualifies matbea for chalipin, that's talking about using the matbea as a method of chalipin. But in a chalipin deal, a matbea itself could be transferred and could be acquired by chalipin. So, for example, if we do a kinyan chalipin on matbea, we take a sudar, and there is a meshicha. Let's say the mocher makes a meshicha on the sudar, then he's makna matbea to lokeach. It's not that the matbea is mufka from kinyan chalipin. If it's the object of a kinyan chalipin, it certainly can serve and be nicknamed with chalipin. Just like chalipin can be kona any metaltlin, it can be kona matbea. And that's what he says, just like peiros, according to one opinion, cannot be used as a method of chalipa, but nevertheless, certainly a peir is nicknamed a chalipa, and that's the Rav Nachman. That's the sheet of Rav Nachman on Mem Zayin, which we didn't get to, but the Gemara gives us a little preview over here, who holds that peiros cannot be kinyan, cannot be koneh b'kinyan chalipin. Lav afgav de inu lo avde chalipa. You cannot use peiros as a substitute for a sudar to effectuate a kinyan chalipa, but nevertheless iknuye miknu b'chalipin. The peiros as an object that's being sold, like any metaltalin, can be transferred through a kinyan chalipin. So you made a kinyan chalipin with a sudar, a nal, a kli, and that kinyan is chal on peiros. Is tivanami lo shna, the same status as Rav Papa applies to tiva, that matbeos are no different than peiros, and even though you cannot use them to effectuate the kinyan according to that mind, but nevertheless, they are niknin b'chalipin. And we're going to see that what seems intuitively correct and logical in Rav Papa is not so simple. Meisve, we have a brisa that seems to serve as a contradiction to Rav Papa. Hoya, in this case, Balaperos Omed Begoren. Okay, so this brisa, which begins here on the bottom of Memheim Beis, and Mitzvah Shem will cover this in the next year. It's a little bit more complicated. But keep in mind that Rav Papa made what we think is intuitively a logical distinction, that even though Matbea, according to that Manyama, cannot be used as a medium of or replacement of Suda to create the Kinyan Chalipa, but nevertheless, it's Nikneh de Chalipin.